Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the 138th Psalm. Listen for a word from God. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and for your faithfulness. If you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased the strength of my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways that the Lord has done. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, God regards the lowly. But the haughty God perceives from far away. Though I walk amidst trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill God's purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What are the hallmarks of a Christian life? How would you know a Christian if you saw one? Christians do good works. By your fruits you shall be known, Jesus says. Christians are people who gather to worship, as we have gathered to worship this morning. Christians read the Bible for guidance and inspiration. And Christians are people who pray. Well, at least we think of Christians as people who pray. But in my experience, many of us don't really feel comfortable with prayer. We want to pray, but we don't know how exactly. For some people, prayer is a spiritual gift, and it just seems to flow from them like water from an open faucet. Not all of us possess that gift, but even so, prayer is a skill that we can acquire. Prayer is part of being in relationship with God, and a relationship with God is available to everyone. We know prayer is important. In Thessalonians, we are encouraged to pray without ceasing. The Book of Order, which is the guidebook for the PCUSA, states that every Presbyterian meeting is to begin and to end with prayer. So maybe you've been at some of these meetings, and we often send around a sign-up sheet so you can sign up and everybody gets a chance to pray. So we pass the sheet around and around and around. When it comes to praying in public, prayer can feel like a hot potato. We're just not sure we know what we're doing. Apparently, the disciples felt the same way. Teach us to pray, they ask, which is how we got the most well-known of all Christian prayers, the Lord's Prayer. It's the one prayer we make sure that our children and our confirmands learn. It's always good to have a few prayers in our repertoire, ones that we have memorized and know so well, it's as though they have seeped into the marrow of our being. There's the Our Father, as our Christian, as our Catholic friends call it, which goes along with their Hail Mary. We have prayers, as Rebecca mentioned, that are designed to go along with the rhythms of daily life, eating and sleeping. Now, as adults, we don't always follow these practices ourselves, but we like to make sure the children do. Now I lay me down to sleep. Or God is great, God is good. Some of them go along with song, like Johnny Appleseed Prayer, which I will not sing for you. Most of us have a prayer that's particularly meaningful. One of my favorites is known as the Breton Fisherman's Prayer. Dear Lord, be good to me. The sea is so wide, and my boat is so small. In a pinch, any prayer will do. Writer Anne Lamott says she has two basic prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and help me, help me, help me. Later, she added a third one, so it goes, thank you, thank you, thank you, help me, help me, help me. Wow. When all else fails, what often remains are the prayers that we learned first as a child. In hospital rooms and at deathbeds, too many to count. When ordinary speech is inadequate. When there are no words. What comes to us is prayer. There is barely breath, yet lips still move. Where a mind is almost gone, prayer still leapfrogs across a disabled synapse. Our Father, who art in heaven. Take comfort in this. If you feel insecure or inadequate in your ability to pray, you are not alone. Teach us to pray, the disciples ask, and it's the same today, and it's been the same in every church I've ever served. People are looking for help with their prayer life. To meet that need, there are countless books, endless commentaries. You can find volumes upon volumes, and that's on the Lord's Prayer alone. So I have about 10 minutes this morning to teach you everything you need to know about prayer. So, no need to feel shy or ashamed. Prayer is a spiritual gift, but it's also a spiritual practice, and we can all develop our capacity to pray. One thing people want to learn is the mechanics of a prayer. Teach us to pray often translates as teach us how to pray. How does one construct a prayer? Where can we find the prayer template? There are, in fact, a few templates, and they can be helpful. A framework gives us a good starting place, and when you know the bones of a prayer, it can help you move through the prayer's block. Prayer can take many forms. You can find several of them in today's bulletin. We begin with praise and adoration, followed with prayers of confession. In response to God's word, we make prayers of petition, including the Lord's Prayer. We ask for God's saving intervention in our lives and in the world. And then we conclude with prayers of dedication as we recommit ourselves and our resources to a life lived in God. So if you're ever wondering how to pray, just pull out the order of worship, which I'm sure you keep on hand all the time. It's online. The Lord's Prayer itself has an order that you can follow, although different scholars see the framework a little differently. And as you noticed this morning, it appears in two different versions. The one in the Gospel of Luke is a little different from the one that you find in Matthew. The Lord's Prayer begins with a form of address that underscores a close relationship between ourselves and God. That is of a child with a parent. Not only is God the Father of Jesus, God is our heavenly parent, and we can lean into that kind of spiritual intimacy. Our Father. This statement of faith, however, is quickly followed by a second one that Rebecca referred to. God's name is holy. So holy that the early Israelites would never speak it. Hallowed be thy name. So it's an interesting juxtaposition of intimacy and otherness. We have the parent-child, but also that God's name is holy. However, the statement is not just a statement about God's character. It's a statement about our character. It's a verb as much as an adjective. We ourselves are to live in ways that make God's name holy, that hallow God's name, to be little lights shining in ways that illuminate God's glory. Then we have thy kingdom come, thy will be done, which acknowledges that God's kingdom has already come in Jesus, but it's still unfolding. And we pray that we are in alignment with God's will, that our will is in alignment with God's will. And where it isn't, and I don't know about you, but very often it seems that God and I are in some disagreement about what should be happening. But when our will is not in alignment with God's will, we are surrendering in the acknowledgement that God's knowledge is greater than our knowledge, that God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. In short, we are saying in our prayer that God is God. The next three sentences address what Matthew Skinner terms essential needs. The first is the sustenance of daily bread. The second is our need for forgiveness, which is kind of interesting that forgiveness is considered an essential need. I guess we can't make it through life without the process of forgiveness for others and for ourselves. An interesting point about the grammar here is that it suggests that when God forgives us, it's a definitive act, once and for all. God's forgiveness goes backwards and forwards. But we are not like God. We're mere mortals. So for us, the process of forgiveness is ongoing. We're always engaged in the never-ending process. So it's a little like fishermen that practice catch and release. We are always catching and releasing and unhooking so that we can move forward. The next petition references the need for protection. Lead us not to trial. In the original early context, this probably meant very literally not to be persecuted as Christians were. But in our context, we've come to understand this in terms of personal temptation. Keep us from sinning. Keep us from doing anything that causes us to slip up and separate from God and others. Keep us from running our lives into a ditch, because God knows we do it all the time. Now, the traditional ending to the Lord's Prayer that we say is not found in either gospel, but was added later so that the prayer comes full circle. It begins and ends in praise. So there's another framework for prayer. You can follow the framework of the Lord's Prayer. So some prayers have frameworks, but there are others that are free form and spontaneous. When I was in high school, I learned about something called the arrow prayer, right? It's akin to something known as the Hail Mary prayer, which has less to do with Mary than football, right? But you get the idea. These are the prayers we fling up in a moment of need. Prayer often comes with words, but words are not required. Some forms of prayer emphasize the experiential rather than the verbal. These include Lectio Divina, centering prayer, and walking our labyrinth. Contemplative forms of prayer emphasize holy listening. Prayer, it turns out, is not a one-way street. It's multi-directional, and the communication lines run both ways between ourselves and God. Some people pray through singing. Members of our choir can tell you that singing is a spiritual experience. Others pray through dance or art or being immersed in nature. Some people find it helps to write their prayers out, to journal to God. I understand that some people even find mathematics and the principles of higher science to be forms of prayer, which just goes to show that one person's form of prayer is another person's form of not praying. There are so many ways to pray, so many ways to be in communication with God. Simply find the one that works best for you and try not to be so judgy about what works for others. The mechanics and forms of prayer are one thing, but when it comes to prayer, there can be more going on. When we know we should pray, when we know how to pray, even when we want to pray, sometimes something gets in the way. You can think about the times when maybe you've wanted to pray, but something happens. You start getting anxious, or maybe you feel resistant. It's worth considering, because sometimes problems in our prayer life are actually pointing us to deeper problems in our spiritual life, issues that need to be addressed. I'll give you a few examples of what I mean. I'll put them in terms of me, but you can listen in and see what resonates for you. Sometimes when I pray, I feel foolish, like maybe I'm alone and no one is really listening. Sometimes I say to myself, what's the point? Prayer isn't going to make a difference. Prayer isn't going to cure that cancer or bring back the loved one. Prayer doesn't really work. Sometimes I don't pray because I'm hiding. Maybe I'm ashamed of what I've done or who I am. Facing God in prayer means that I have to face myself, and I don't really want to face God or myself. Maybe I'm not ready to repent or to change. I might be afraid to pray because I secretly believe that God is a God of wrath and vengeance. I'm afraid of judgment. Sometimes I don't pray because I'm mad at God. I'm carrying a grudge and I would rather stonewall. Shutting God out becomes a way of punishing God for letting me down. Sometimes I don't pray because, frankly, I want what I want. I don't want God's will. I want my will. And I'm really not ready to let go of the steering wheel. So you can see what I mean, that the mechanics of prayer are relatively easy, but sometimes the underlying issues are hard. The good thing is, once we know what those issues are, once we name them, we have a shot at getting help for them, at getting the deeper healing that we need. We might even begin to pray. So, ultimately, Prayer is not a product that we create. Prayer is being in a relationship with God. Anne Lamott says, prayer means that in some unique way we believe that we are invited into a relationship with someone who hears us when we speak, even in silence. C.S. Lewis suggests that we pray because we have to. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. So try praying for a change. See what happens. Listen for the holy. Here's another of my favorite prayers. I'll pray it for all of us. Lord, grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.